Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Ebro, Laura, Rosenberg. You may have heard. Laura got poo-pooed on this morning by her dog Pee-wee, so she's not in this conversation with Catherine Garcia. But Catherine Garcia has the answers. She is one of the leaders in the mayoral race here in New York City because she used to work in sanitation as well as dealing with sewage. So you've seen a lot of poo-poo and doo-doo and other things in your career. Oh. Catherine, good morning.
I like to roll up my sleeves and get a little dirty here. So not afraid of jumping in.
You started out as an intern. I don't know if many people know that. I would love to hear that story because I didn't learn. I heard your name, but it wasn't until the New York Times wrote a great piece on you. You started to lead in some of the polls. I did some research and found out you started in this game as an intern.
Yes, I fell in love with garbage at the age of 22 because it's fascinating. It tells the whole story of what we as humans are up to. And we actually had a trash museum where one of the sanitation workers had literally collected things off the street in his 30-year career and displayed them. So, you know, there was a section on Pez containers and, you know, what was important to us in the late 20th century.
And so, and you worked your way all the way up to being a part of the de Blasio administration, leading sanitation, but stepped down several months ago because of budgeting issues. I would love to hear more about that story also.
Oh, certainly. It's, you know, we had done such an amazing job putting out climate change, real policies and operations, as well as just cleanliness. And at the height of COVID, when you actually need to keep things clean, the budget got cut by $100 million. And there was an immediate impact. You notice when sanitation doesn't come.
Right. Mm-hmm. What would you have done if you were in Mayor de Blasio's shoes? You got, I mean, obviously, hindsight's 2020. And, you know, for many reasons, that was probably the wrong thing to do. I think many people agree, but we were facing a crisis that nobody had ever dealt with before. What is the hindsight on that decision? What would have got cut instead?
So it is really about looking for other efficiency across the board and starting with, we should have been refinancing our debt. We pay $1 billion a year in debt service on the expense side. And so we should have been refinancing just like everyone else was refinancing their mortgages to get a lower monthly payment. That would have been my focus. And then really digging into where we could find efficiencies. But, you know, sanitation and parks, oh my goodness, they took such a hit. And you saw their, the infrastructure of it just sort of fall apart last summer with really dirty, dirty, dirty parks where we really needed.
Catherine, what do you say to people who have been displeased with the de Blasio administration? And there are a lot of people out there, you know, I personally like him a lot. He's always been good to our show, been honest with our audience, but there are a lot of people who really have not been pleased with the way the city's been run. What do you say to those people who make too closely associate you to the administration?
The difference here is that they got to judge my work every single day. They know exactly whether or not I was plowing the snow, picking up the garbage. And during the height of COVID, my team and I were delivering 1 million meals a day. I was delivering for New Yorkers, and We know that during the height of COVID, one of the real challenges with the current administration were things like, how are we going to open schools? How are we going to get vaccines into arms? Things are better now, but there were a lot of missed opportunities.
You know, you being a person who has seen firsthand how to manage a crisis, and also working your way up from internship, I think that, you know, bodes well in a lot of people's eyes. What we don't know about you is, or at least I don't know, is, you know, how you're going to deal with some of the more aggressive issues in our city, which one is gun violence, but also police accountability and the police relationship with many communities around here, which is not good. So let's start with the gun violence and what solutions that you have in your plan.
And this is a real moment, a real inflection moment. You know, I come from a family that is multiracial. I was adopted as well as two of my siblings who are Black. And we were raised in Brooklyn in the 70s and 80s. And it was affordable. And it was not very safe. And I don't want to go back to those days, which is why we have to be very intentional about dealing with gun violence. First and foremost, we need to make it so the courts are working effectively. If you are arrested with a gun, that you are getting the justice you deserve, that we are expanding the gun suppression unit that does the deep investigative work, that we also are investing in places like Cure Violence with credible messengers. We know that if we do investments in communities, that they will see a reduction in crime. For example, when I came out earlier this year with my foster care program, having a permanent family, even if you're a teenager, really making sure we still look for that permanent family means you're 50% less likely to get involved in the criminal justice system. But we have to make sure that we are working closely with communities, because if you're not developing trust with communities, if you're not, you will not solve crime. You will not stop the violence. And we have to do that. I am very concerned. We've gone from a pandemic to an epidemic of gun violence over the last few months. And it's getting hot out there. And summer is usually not the numbers can get.
As they say, sun's out, guns out.
Sun's out, guns out. We got to do things like release the grip programs. We got to be out in the field all the time to really stop this cycle of violence. We are now seeing more people shot in a weekend than are dying of COVID. We need to make sure that we have boots on the ground to get it done, but also that we are making those strategic investments to develop trust with community. And this is personal. You know, my brother is Black. I want him to be respected, and my children are half Puerto Rican.
So how do you balance? So the gun suppression unit, which, you know, I think that is what we call the jump out boys. And how do you, those are also the that kind of arm of the law that is the stop and frisk arm that are running up on people, oftentimes throwing people against the wall, that whole thing. What's the delicate balance there to make sure that we don't go and slide back into a stop and frisk type of environment?
Yeah, this is actually a different unit than the plainclothes unit that had been disbanded. These are actually folks doing the investigative work, to really understand what's driving the gun violence. But, you know, we also need to be working with our federal partners and stopping the flow of illegal guns into the city. We don't have a gun manufacturer in the city of New York, and people have, and there are still an enormous number of guns here. We know that that could be a lot better. And we should, to be quite honest, be doing a gun buyback program and making it so that you can go to basically any precinct. Because any gun off the street is a potential life saved.
They also, you know, a lot of the more experienced than myself speak about opportunities and jobs for kids in high school or just fresh out of high school, and making sure that those opportunities, summer programs, summer youth jobs, you know, getting money into some of the into young people's hands early, getting them work experience early. Making sure our public schools are serving the communities that they're in and that they have resources. How will you manage that? And will there be more money allocated there? And where will that money come from?
So we have to be making investments in our public schools. That is why I will immediately move $130 million out of central headquarters and into classrooms so that we make sure that every school has art and music and theater and sports, because we have to engage the whole child. We have to also do scientific learning, reading programs and literacy programs so that you are reading by third grade, because that's when you read for information. But one of the real fun things about being out on the trail is you learn about programs that are working that haven't been taken to scale, like work experience programs in schools, the Here to Here program. You learn about early college and the BARD early college program, where you're graduating with an associate's degree out of high school. These are the types of programs we need to be doing. So you're not just graduating high school, you're graduating into a career, which is why I've said we'll do 10,000 internships with the public, the private, and the nonprofit sector for kids in CUNY and for our high school kids, and fix the trade schools. As a sanitation commissioner, where I had hundreds and hundreds of auto mechanics because the trucks need to be taken care of, I could not hire directly out of automotive high school. That has to be a direct path into a career.
So that's just a mandate. They have to go get another certification before they can get one of those sanitation mechanic jobs.
Yeah. And those are good jobs. They pay very well. You know, you're starting out in, you know, north of $70,000. I mean, they're very good jobs.
Good paying jobs. So let's talk about police. Some of your competitors in this mayoral race for New York City are saying they want a police commissioner who's a civilian, not from within the ranks. What is Catherine Garcia's plan for police commissioner? And then working from there, what do you see that needs to be dealt with inside the police department?
So I want a police commissioner that actually understands both policing but reform, and has shown the management chops to make change, to make culture change, to really change police departments to a service to communities rather than warriors against communities, enforcers against communities, that they are true guardians of communities. And I also, it's not only the commissioner. You got to have all of the chiefs have to be on board around these changes because they are closer to the front line. We've got to be investing in training of your sergeants and your lieutenants about what we want to see, and promoting engagement with community into that first star rank. That's how you send the message that we are going to have a different police department. But at the end of the day, I'm the boss. Police commissioner needs to do what I say.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
Smash like that.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
So does that mean a commissioner from within? You're saying it could be from within or could be civilian?
Right. I have not. I'm also just, we're 2 weeks out. I'm not picking my administration till I get all the votes in. But I want somebody who's extraordinarily competent, but also really has shown that they are able to make significant change.
That's fair. Now I think there's a white supremacy problem inside the NYPD. I've had a conversation with Commissioner Shea about dealing with individuals. And I know it's tough. White supremacy and racism is, unless you're, you know, wearing some sort of emblem or, you know, have a tat or some sort of behavior, repeatedly, it's hard in the workplace to just, identify that and eradicate that. Right. Because you can't just walk around accusing people of things. But in this day and age where the federal government has talked about white supremacist organizations infiltrating our police departments for the last decade, you know, in dealing with that, this race issue that we have and dealing with how, and you said you have a brother who's Black, and I'm sure he's experienced it and felt it, and dealing with how this permeates society and permeates how humans, especially who have a badge and a gun, have been socially programmed. How do you plan to have conversations around that or address that culturally? Because that's kind of a cultural conversation.
It's a cultural conversation, but it's also a management conversation. When you think about being a police officer, we need an early intervention system for police officers. Maybe this is not the career for you. If you are showing disrespect for community, whatever is driving that, if you are just showing disrespect for community, it is not appropriate for you to be a police officer. You have to be there to serve them. And putting that in place, it's going to be hard, but that is how you drive culture change, is by rewarding those who are doing the right thing and showing folks the door who are doing the wrong thing. Because we want a police force that feels proud of the work that they're doing and feels that they are in partnership with community. But it permeates beyond the police department. You know, how do we hold teachers accountable for making sure that they are pushing kids of color to higher levels of achievement? We know that there is implicit bias there as well. They presume that they will not meet high standards and then sort of shuffle them off in a different direction. We can't allow that to happen either. The police department obviously is the most dangerous because they carry a gun. And those situations can escalate. But having really thoughtful policies in place to identify people who should perhaps not be cops is what we need to put in place.
Getting money in residents' hands and protecting people in their homes and affordable housing. Many other of the other candidates have talked about ways to make sure that some of the lowest income of our city get some subsidies and some support to kind of get the economy going, as well as get people safe in their rental apartments and make sure that there's affordable housing opportunities. What are your solutions, Dan?
You know, affordable housing has been, you know, the challenge since what, 1946, 1947.
It's always a challenge, always a problem, always a challenge, always a broken. Challenge.
It's always broken. I think everyone is always looking for something more affordable in the city of New York, and folks from out of town are shocked by what we are willing to pay per square foot. They're like, you live in a closet. And I was like, no, it's great. it's two things. It's one about building more housing, period, so that we have more supply, and then using the city dollars, the city money, to build deeply affordable housing, to build 50,000 units for those making under $30,000 a year. And then for people who are homeless, giving them the subsidy. And actually, there was recent legislation passed by the council that I think will be incredibly helpful. We had a voucher at the city level. The voucher was $1,265 a month. You can't rent an apartment for $1,265 a month. And they've now increased it to equate to the Section 8 federal voucher. Because otherwise, if you end up in a homeless shelter, we pay three times that amount to keep you in a shelter. That's terrible for you, terrible for your kids.
So you would increase the subsidy for homeless folks. And what about jobs? What is the public-private partnership balance to make sure corporations invest not only in our youth and getting them into the jobs of tomorrow, but also retraining and getting people ready for the jobs that are going to come available potentially during your administration?
Yeah, I believe that we need to have much more of a partnership with the private sector and making sure that we're educating kids to for the jobs of tomorrow. Tech, film, and movies. It's a really big growing industry. Life sciences. These are the types of jobs that the kids need to be prepared for and we need to be educating them for. But it's also holding the private sector accountable for delivering. Are you really hiring people coming out of our CUNY system? The other piece of this is around small business. They're 50% of our private sector employment. They've had an incredibly difficult time. And we need to be investing in those small businesses, giving them access to the public realm, making sure that open restaurants stays permanent, making it so there's one city permit and the city gets out of your way. Because if you're a restaurant, you got to go to like 8 agencies before you can actually sell a bowl of soup. Making it so that we're also doing a promotion of small businesses, like Rediscover NYC. Let's go to that neighborhood you've never been to and have dinner, or explore Arthur Avenue, explore Jackson Heights, that we should be tourists in our own town. But we also know as we make the city more livable, we will keep people here, we will attract people here, and people will visit here. And tourism is a big piece of our economy. We like to be social. We like to be able to go to a great restaurant. So bringing all of that back, we have to be thinking about very intentionally.
You know, you often hear about candidates accepting money from police unions or big real estate, things like that. When it came to fundraising, is there money you've said absolutely not to, people who have offered you support?
Well, to be quite honest with you, the police unions did not offer me support. So I didn't have to say no. I had said so that has been the one place where I did not think it was appropriate, because you're also going to have to negotiate with them in the future. But, you know, I was really disturbed by some of the endorsements, particularly of the prior federal administration, because the prior federal administration was not helping us. During the height of the pandemic, they were not helping us when we really needed it. So I'm very thankful that the Biden administration came through and is going to make it so that we can come back strong. And, you know, fundraising, you know, all of my fundraising, I've been in the public system. So very transparent and very constrained on who you can raise money from.
Right. So big real estate and accepting money from them. How are you, because they throw a lot around a lot of money. That is part of the public-private partnership conversation that a lot of candidates have to wiggle through. Real estate's very important to Manhattan, as well as building affordable housing and figuring out how to balance that. How are you going to balance that and hold some of these big real estate investors accountable?
Now, in the public system, the small donor, the something 250 or below, is actually my most important donor because of the 8-to-1 match. But we need to make it so that we are working with real estate, holding them accountable, but also making sure that we're building. And, you know, I want to see more jobs in this city. I want to see union jobs in this city. I want to see more apartments in this city, because every apartment is a family's home. But I am ready to roll up my sleeves to do the hard work. And I have done that over the course of my career.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Do you have any relationship with the current governor, Cuomo?
I do not have a direct relationship with the current governor. I've worked very closely, obviously, with his agencies and had very productive relationships with them. But it's not just about the governor. It's about the Senate and the Assembly. They have super majorities. We have to have relationships with them to move the agenda. There's a lot you can do at the state that you can't do at the city level.
And so much that you've
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And on that note, though, of other politicians, anything that you've learned from Mayor de Blasio and the things that he's done right or wrong during his time as mayor?
Look, I am not a politician. I am far less. Transactional, maybe, than other politicians are. I also just don't bring the same ego to it. I want to get the work done. I want to make sure that we are working in partnership with the governor, particularly around the MTA. What do you need from the city so that we ensure that people are getting to work on time? You know, either through the buses or through the subway. How can I help you as you control the MTA board? But also, I want a bigger seat at the board so that we can be making investments in literally the one thing New Yorkers care about, because we are always in a rush. Please don't let me end up in the AC tunnel for an hour and 20 minutes, which happened the other day, because we are not doing the maintenance we need to do on signals and third rails. You gotta keep that up, because otherwise we have the summer of hell.
Now, Catherine, as a personality wise, you know, I like what I'm hearing, and I like the way it's being delivered from you. I am not the type of voter that, it, you know, wants my candidate to be, you know, hey, everybody, and I want to have a beer, and, you know, I want a policy. That's just me. That's what I like. I like somebody's like, here's the answer. This is what I'm going to do. Here are the facts. Here's the decision. If I don't know the decision, I'm going to go to the experts that do and make the best one. So I see you being a very matter of fact candidate. It seems like that's going well for you.
Oh, yeah, it's going well. But, you know, we did have some fun at sanitation. You know, we had a fashion show with Heron Preston.
Shout out to Heron.
That made us pretty cutting edge and cool. You know, we did a food waste fair with some celebrity chefs. You know, the favorite thing of the sanitation workers is when they converted old bread into beer. So a virtuous circle in their minds.
You're down to have a good time is what you're saying.
I'm down to have a good time, particularly when it's moving the needle on. We're talking about how we're going to get rid of textile waste. How are we going to stop food waste? But you can have a little fun while you're doing that.
So yeah, one of and I'm assuming this is probably what people are really excited about it. You know, and I've heard it a couple of times in this convo. You really light up when you're talking about the environment and talking about making sure that things are clean and the planet's taken care of.
It is the existential crisis of our time. Last year, California literally burned and Texas literally froze. If we are not doing the right thing for the environment, you know, we're not doing our job as humans because we want to leave this planet better for our children and for our grandchildren. That means a renewable Rikers. That means electrifying school buses so that we're protecting the youngest lungs from diesel fumes. You know, that's less asthma. So it's not only about protecting the environment for the future. It's about our public health now.
Where are we with the closing of Rikers? I thought that was on the table.
Oh, I want to see a renewable Rikers, which means we need to close that jail. But we are going to need to invest in a plan for the four borough jails. I'm hopeful that when I get into office, we can find a way to make those smaller. But considering the rise, particularly in gun violence, you can't just say they're going to get diverted. You know, for many, many, many other crimes, that should be the option. But for places where we know that someone like ends up killing someone else, we've got to be able to have jail.
Yeah, I don't think there's a world where we get rid of jail. But, you know, I just wanted to know because I know that Rikers became kind of this holding pen for our dysfunctional justice system, where you had people being held at Rikers for many years just waiting for trial, right? To just figure out where they're what the destination is and what the charges are. And then you've had bail reform, and then that's been reformed or trying to be reformed to make it better. Where do you stand on the bail reform and, you know, like you said, reducing the population or figuring out how to expedite so people aren't just held up at Rikers?
I have said consistently that, you know, bail is about whether or not you're going to return to court. You know, that is really the driver. And so, people will say, well, if you don't have bail, it's like catch and release. I was like, yeah, but it used to just be catch and release for rich people. And so we have to have a sensible bail reform. I believe in that. There's some quirks in the law that are weird that need to be looked at, but it's very legally technical because no one should languish at Rikers because they don't have $1,000 to get out and they stole a backpack. That is just the definition of insane. And there are lots of things we can add for someone, whether or not that they have to wear a monitoring device or other requirements that ensure that they get back to court. But that also means court has to work much faster than it does now, particularly for gun cases. We need determination. So I don't want to Philip Rikers. I want to do things like the Red Hook Court, where we are doing diversions away from the criminal justice system, that we are dealing with our psychiatric challenges in a psychiatric institution and not at Rikers. But to be quite honest, the Rikers is so broken, it cannot be fixed. We need to start from scratch. You know, it will take you all day to get onto Rikers if you want to visit a family member or if your attorney is trying to visit you. Having a little sunshine and a little ability to make that easier because it's closer to the courts makes sense.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Her name is Catherine Garcia. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today. I noticed at the debate, and I see it right now, your nameplate on you got the, you know what I mean? And you rock it. So I'm like, yo, she might. Now, did you get that in the 90s? Is that like a throwback joint? That's a joint you had for a minute?
Her got it for me a long time ago. And actually, I had worn it for a long time, and then I broke it. And so I had to get it fixed. So
that's like college. That's like the Coliseum Mall joint.
Yeah,
people used to go get.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go to Coliseum Mall. I went out to out on Flatbush.
There you go.
But it is. I'm still just a girl from Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you, and good luck on everything. Congrats on all your success. Did you in deciding to run for mayor? One last question: did you anticipate the profile getting heightened? It seemed like it happened rather quickly, right?
Oh, I did anticipate it getting heightened, and I knew that it had to be quick because I had been behind the scenes doing the work for the last 14 years and knew that I needed to get my name recognition out there and in order for us to win this thing. And that is what we intend to do.
Is this a job that you always wanted, or is this a job that you feel like you need to perform for the city?
Oh, this is not a job that I always wanted. And really the biggest challenge for me is I don't particularly want to be like a celebrity. I like the work, but at this moment, the city really needs someone committed to the work and delivering for every New Yorker equally. And I honestly think there's nothing more progressive than delivering for every New Yorker equally.
Catherine Garcia, it's been great. Hopefully we can have you back on again.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's been a pleasure to meet you. And who's your second choice? Who are you ranking after yourself?
Oh, I have not picked a second choice.
Ah, you guys all say that.
No one wants to get
breaking news here. So that's all I'm going to say on that.
I saw you dodge that at the debate. They had that as a debate question, Rosenberg. I was like, ooh, that's a goodie.
Right.
And a lot of people dodged it. Some people dodged it, but I salute. There was, I think, Yang said he had Maya second, but Scott, didn't Scott say he had you second?
No, Yang said second, and Ray McGuire in prior debates had said number two. Scott has not picked a number two. And then I think, I don't remember what Maya was doing Diane, but she's seems to not be doing Diane now. It's confusing. What I tell voters is pick whoever your favorite is. And then pick everybody else. Don't overthink it. Don't try and game out. Just pick who you like and do it in that order.
Catherine Garcia. Go check her out. What's the official Instagram and website if people want to go read more?
It's kg4nyc.com. So kg4nyc.com.
Catherine Garcia, take care. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.